Tonight on the Mac to the Future livecast, go. The coronavirus is still wreaking havoc on major supply chains because people don't want to die making smartphones. Microsoft has combined certain Office apps, making them even more mobile-lier. Larry Ellison is holding a fundraiser for Trump, and some 2,500 employees don't like it. Will there be an Apple event next month? And oh, Apple TV, how do I love thee? By saying you're probably due for the scrap heap of history. All of that tonight and more on the Mac to the Future livecast. Go. And tonight on the, oh boy, my camera is a little low. Let me bring my head up a little. There we go. There's my head. Hi, head. On tonight's show, we've got all kinds of stuff, but the one thing we do not have is Mr. Warren Sklar because, well, he had family stuff to take care of, or was it a fundraiser? I can't quite remember.
Fundraiser.
But, you know, a family is a good as a fundraiser to a miss. And of course, I have Mr. David Ginsburg. Hello.
How you doing, guy?
I'm jumping out of that because I don't know what I'm talking about. Absolutely well, nothing new there.
Yeah, that is true.
So you were in not Kentucky.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee. I actually have some friends in that area. But yep. I haven't, oh my gosh, I haven't been to Tennessee in, years and years and years and years. But it looked like you were having a lot more fun than I was ever did.
Yeah, that was my first time there, which was interesting in itself, and got to stay at a friend's house. So I didn't have to have any lodging expense, which was nice. And
was there a reason for being in Nashville
a visit, and it was President's Day weekend. So the wife was off, so I went along with all the gals. It was me and the gals. So it was like
the fisherman, you did trip. It for the halibut.
Yes, I did it for the halibut, and I did have some. In fact, I did eat some halibut while I was there at a restaurant called Etsy. And I also went to Waffle House at least once.
Of course. Now, see, it's not complete unless you also go to a Crystal's while you're there, which is the Southern equivalent to White Castle.
I'm sure you know what
White Castle is.
Yes, I know what White Castle is. We have those here. Mm-hmm. But I did go to a place called the Loveless Cafe, and that's their last name. And they have Southern like fried chicken. Linda? Yeah, Loveless. Less, oh. Not lace. Less.
Okay.
And they have... sure. They have
don't get the chicken and gravy. That's all I can say. Yeah, don't do that.
It was good actually. There was fried chicken and there was waffles. So
how can you go wrong? You can't go wrong.
And lots of great and music. Everything's great in Nashville with the music. And then you got the Johnny Cash Museum. So we had to do that touristy thing. And
of course,
it was a fun time.
Okay. Well, let's get into it. Because we are running a little bit later than usual, and that, of course, big surprise, was my fault. Some quick takes, and it's almost all coronavirus-related. Apple is apparently moving some production to Taiwan over coronavirus worries. Not a huge surprise, but I'm not really sure how moving production to Taiwan is going to make that much of a difference. You know, it's like saying, well, we're going to move it from Beijing to Hong Kong. Well, it's still China. There's still those issues.
Yeah. I think their thought was try to move as much production as they could out of China so they can keep the production going. Apple already did say that they're already projecting that they're not going to make their forecasted quarter yeah, because of this virus. Yeah,
well, that's not a huge surprise not,
but,
either.
But it definitely was. There definitely was a good reason to at least attempt to move it out. I don't think they're going to get anywhere near the production that they get when they're in China, but I guess I could see a good reasoning why they could at least have they have their alternates for production.
Okay. Also, Apple has reopened 10 closed stores with some limited hours, basically from like 11 in the morning to 6 in the evening in Guangzhou, Dalian, Qingdao, Shanghai, and Chengdu. Masks are required, and people's temperatures were taken before entering the store. This is still more attempts to try to limit the exposure of the virus. As I understand, the capital city in the Wuhan province is basically, there's like nobody on the streets. There's, you know, the government is out in force keeping curfews and all the rest of it, trying to let the virus burn itself out. And we'll see how well that works, because plague being what it is. Okay, the last thing we have in quick takes, supply woes may continue through April. And my guess would be that those supply woes will probably, depending on what happens in the next couple of weeks, continue far past April.
It's very possible.
Almost. And again, we were talking about this last week. It's not just the assembly plants that have the issue. It's all the plants that make all the parts that go to the assembly plants that makes it difficult. And we have a story later on that we'll talk about where this could wreak major havoc. The only one that we have any firm information about, if as firm as it can be, is Apple, though there's other companies as well that have a major Chinese presence that's also having issues. Samsung, sorry, excuse me.
That's right.
Okay, on to the main stories. Microsoft is making MS Office easier on mobile. This is a story from The Verge. If you are a fan of Microsoft Office, and why wouldn't you be? There's a new version of Office Mobile that combines Word, Excel, and PowerPoint into one application, making it easier than ever to switch between major applications on a 6-inch screen. I actually have not yet had the chance to play around with this. I was having a lot of trouble downloading it because I am a 365 subscriber. And so I've got Microsoft Office on this computer on my laptop. And oddly enough, it required a separate license to do so. But I also have it on my Windows partition on this very computer. So I have Microsoft Office both on the Mac and in Windows 10 on this same computer. And it took two different licenses to do it.
Mm.
Have you had a chance to look at this? Because you're a big iOS guy.
Yes, I wonder why. Yes, I did. I did download it, and I did try it out, and it did integrate nicely with my work Office 365 account, and all the security came across. It looks like I can look at all of my spreadsheets and my Word documents and edits. And one thing that I did find that came out of it was the fact that you can also do more with PDFs, which was pretty amazing, including signing a PDF right from the app. You can open up a document, get a PDF, sign it, scan it, pictures and documents. It had it all built in there. And then they have a transfer service, looks like, with sharing files between your phone and your computer. Most corporations I would anticipate will not allow that to happen if it's not secure. But it is through the Office 365 portal through the cloud. So if companies that have the cloud services should be able to do it.
If you work for a company that uses, Dynamic 365 as
Azure.
Yeah. And the company I work for does. We recently went to that, and which really, really surprised me. But we won't. I don't want to talk about that. Yeah. I'm going to kind of put this through its paces on my iPhone. I haven't downloaded it yet on my iPad, which I'm thinking is going to be...
I haven't either. I got to try that.
Most of the, you know, most of where I would use something like, I mean, I've looked at Office on my phone, but every time I open it up, it's kind of like, why would I want to do any major word processing or presentation editing or spreadsheet editing on my phone? I'm sure there are people that do it. I'm sure that they believe themselves to be productive. Heck, maybe they are productive. But it's not something I want to do.
I think a lot of what people do with their iPhone is more so just being able to visually look at apps, look at files. You know, because especially someone on the go who's a worker in their enterprise, they want to be able to view a spreadsheet quickly and be able to do it on their phone without having to pull out their laptop or their iPad for that matter, and making it easy to view that so they can get the information they need in a quick and a pinch. I don't see people doing a ton of editing on it. I mean, granted that I have the XS Max, I'm sorry, the XS, the 11 Pro Max. I had the other one, and it does look really good. I think Microsoft did a really good job of making it scaling it down so I can see the spreadsheets very easily. I can click cells or tap cells, and I can get to the Word documents very easily in PowerPoint. So it's really nice the fact they integrated all three into one app. So I can delete Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, the standalone apps that were already installed on my iOS devices. And
So it was on mine too.
It's all right there. There's no rhyme or reason to have all that on there. I'm going to look at a comparison, but I will be talking about this on In Touch with iOS. So
we'll be recording tomorrow night, hopefully with Mr. Sklar. To talk about some of our comments coming in, Frank Petrie says, health is more important than AirPod Pros. Blasphemy, Frank, blasphemy. Derek says that he doesn't think his posts are going to show.
They're showing.
You
see them.
my cousin, Ken Nichols. Hey, Ken, thanks for that picture the other day. That brought back some great memories. He's talking mostly about a story that we're going to have in just a little bit. And then Frank is schooling Derek on the fact that it's about a 15-second delay.
Yes.
There's nothing we can do about that.
And the post before that, no, I didn't get into a fight. I had a little bit of an accident. He was looking at my
car accident
here. I had a little boo-boo. No, just I'm not going to get into it. But
okay. Well, and fortunately, this is a show with video, so everyone can see it. All right.
Yeah, I'll point it out. It's right there.
Okay. It looks like you ran into a vampire that was really confused over
the concept of
being a vampire.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. As long as we've got that down. Next up, and I don't want to dwell on this one, the Larry and Donald Show. This is a story from MarketWatch. Larry Ellison of Oracle fame is holding a fundraiser for Trump, and some 2,500 of his employees don't like it enough to sign a petition, but apparently not enough to go find someplace else to work. Some are supposed to log off in protest. We ran into a lot of this as well in 2016, and just because you work for a company, it doesn't mean that you have to agree with or condone the political beliefs of anyone that is in a higher management position. But at the same time, you need to understand that they, as people, also have the right to their own opinions and their own beliefs. And it doesn't necessarily have to agree with yours as well. And I can't think of anything else to say about that.
Same here. I've never been a big fan of Larry Ellison from the get-go. Oracle, you know, to me is, you know, it's very powerful database company. Very powerful. Hard to avoid them. They're like Adobe. You know, you just kind of can hard to resist what they do in our world.
It's a whole new world. I won't stop.
That's all I got to say.
Okay. No, Apple event, possibly next month. Boy, this show is going to be really short. This is a story from 9 to 5 Mac. So many things to be announced, it makes me believe that it's probably hogwash. iPhone 9, along with a new version of iOS, AirTag item trackers, and a new iPad Pro, all while major disruptions are hitting their supply lines. Now, as far as the new version of iOS goes, I could definitely see that not really having any issue, because most of the programming for iOS, of course, is done by Apple here in the States. Right. But as far as an iPhone 9 SE / 2, whatever the heck they may call a slightly cheaper iPhone, and we still have absolutely no confirmation whatsoever that it's that going to be one at all. You know, lots of people say there's going to be one, and maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. But with the
go ahead. It's all rumors. I mean, it is rumors. Well, you have to take that with that grain of salt. Anytime you see these stories,
the grain of salt, it's about this big.
That's
how big that salt grain is.
All the pundits that we follow, or at least I follow, I think you will follow as well, have some pretty solid information that suggests that there is going to be an SE2 type of device, a smaller version of the current line, because people want it. People want that. I mean, like we've talked about this before. The SE was a nice little form factor. A lot of people love to have that small size. There's people holding on to them still. I mean, the SE is still a perfectly solid device, and I don't see anybody changing them.
I have a brand new iPhone SE, never ever used, because like my wife was on an iPhone 5, and I figured, oh, I'll do something really nice for her, and get her the same form factor. Could not get her to switch phones. She was like, I don't want to go through the hassle of getting a new phone.
She's still on the iPhone 5?
She's still on an iPhone 5.
Oh, my God. That's going to go so into the road to this point. I don't even remember if it goes past iOS 11.
Well, I know that the little crank that's in the front, she's starting to have trouble with that. So she may have to get a new one soon.
Yep. But I think that's pretty solid. iOS, as it mentions in the 9to5 article, iOS 13.4 is going to be released at some point. Beta 2 just got released today.
Was there anything new in it? Well, let's talk about that.
I'm not using
beta on my iPhone because it's such an important.
If Warren was here, he'd tell us all about it, and he'll tell us all about it tomorrow during In Touch with iOS.
Well, what have you noticed anything that was different about
it? I have not updated as of yet. My test devices. So,
well, other than the fact that it's probably got something in there. If these air tags are real, and really what these are is just something that you can put kind of like, I'm blanking on the name of the other device.
Yeah. Tile.
Tie. Yeah. It basically allows you to put one of these tags onto a thing, and using mostly Wi-Fi, I guess it would all have to almost be exclusively Wi-Fi, know where it is at any given time. And I know that a lot of production lines, a lot of distribution centers use things like this in order to know where a particular item or box or shipment is in their warehouses as it's going through its various things.
I mean, I could tell you a little bit with the beta. For some reason, Apple decided to remove all the icons in the Mail app, and all you see currently is the flat, the forward button, and you have to push the reply button. You push the reply button, then all the other stuff is in there, flagging and deleting and files and all that.
Really? That's so they did very bring odd.
Very odd. Yeah, so if you go into the Mail app right now and you look, I mean, and you pick an email, open it up, all you see is the trash and then the reply icon at the bottom. That's it. I don't know if you use the Mail app on iOS, but
sure.
Dumbest thing I'd ever seen. So then when you tap the reply button, then all the functions are in there, and it can be very confusing. So they're
I'm sure that it had some kind of aesthetic reason for doing it, but it sounds like it was a change just for the sake of a change.
I guess, because now they're bringing it back. So Because now the new bar is going to have the trash can, the files folder, plus flagging will all be on the bar now, including as well as reply, of course. iCloud folder sharing is the other new thing that's going to be coming soon, where you can share your folders with anybody
instead of just a file.
Instead of just a file, so yeah. That was the big thing. And then, of course, the emojis thing. The car key was another technology that's going to be coming out, and that has to do with being able to open up your car with your iPhone
and start
it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, this just screams to me as a way for car thieves to have an easier time at stealing your car. If they can somehow, because I guess you would have to have encryption between the receiver transmitter in your car and the receiver transmitter in your iPhone.
Right.
But it just seems to me that you know, I've never been a huge fan of the whole have the keys in your pocket and just hit a button to start your car.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the get off my lawn part.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn, you stinking kids. But any time that you are removing a piece of technology, especially something as important that's required to start your car, for the sake of convenience, it doesn't always seem to me that that's necessarily a good thing. And there have been instances of cars being stolen by people who have copied the frequency and whatever you want to call it, the electronic communication between the key and your car. And once they figure that out, then it's just a matter of walking up to your car and getting in it and driving away. Yeah, driving away. Okay, the only other thing that was there was talking about a new iPad Pro, which I assume would have an updated processor.
I'm questionable on that.
Well, they replaced it, what, last year at the same time? Like March, April was when the
I'm questionable new one came not out? For it to be released during that event. I'm thinking more so that it could get announced during
May WWDC. Or June or a little bit later in this late WWDC. Spring, early summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm. Okay. I'd be curious to see. Yeah, where that goes. I wonder that. So, I don't know if we saw in the comments about who was it? Someone just made a comment. I think it was Derek. If you saw Derek's comment about his son uses an SE, but he said he would like a 10S Max. So that's quite a jump from
who wouldn't
from 4.5 inch screen to a 6.5 inch screen.
Well, I had I went from a 4, what was the later 4? The 4SE, not the 4SE.
Well, the 4S and then the 5.
Yeah, I had the 4S and then I jumped to the 6 Plus and then from the 6 Plus to the 8. So typically I've been skipping about one generation. I think this is the 8 that I have now, the 8 Plus that I have now is probably the oldest phone that I've kept since smartphones came out. Right. And again, it's mostly because I just haven't seen, other than the cameras, I haven't seen enough of a change to make me want to spend the money on a new phone. But we talked about that last week. We won't get into that again. Last story that we have for the evening is the future of the Apple TV, no Apple TV at all. With the Apple TV app going into more devices and TV sets, does it really make any sense to keep the Apple TV as a device around anymore? At this point, the only thing that really makes it a must-have device would be Apple Arcade, if you're playing video games through your Apple TV. Everything else you can get as an app in a Roku or it's coming standard on a lot of TV sets now, and that includes not just things like getting the Apple TV Plus service, but if you have a large collection of what we jokingly used to call iTunes, if you have a large collection of iTunes stuff, then you should be able to stream that from your collection or through Apple servers onto your TV set through the Apple TV app.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you should be able to.
So why bother even having an Apple TV anymore? Do you think it's maybe lived past its prime? Especially considering, and the thing is, it was never even really taken at a hobby status. It was always like, well, here's the Apple TV, and it's a hobby. I don't know why I'm talking like this, but I am. So that was not my Steve Jobs impersonation, because that's not what he sounded like at all.
No.
But they never really came out and said that the Apple TV, this is this viable thing that we're doing. It was always kind of like, oh, yeah, and then there's the Apple TV. It's over there in the corner.
Well, I can also say to you that the beta versions of tvOS, there was a hint of a new model that might be released sooner than later, 4K models. So they might they're obviously actively looking at.
Wasn't there already an Apple TV 4K?
There is. It's going to be an updated version of it. What it has, we don't know yet. But there was a hint that it showed a different SKU, different model, model number than the other models. So there's that. And in the article too, as well, I mean, I kind of agree some of the ideas of the fact that they should think of something like an Apple TV stick. I mean, look at what Amazon's done with their Fire TV stick, a thing that sells like crazy. It's a lower cost device, easy to get on there.
All right.
It's a possibility, but
the difference is it's because it's super cheap. That's the only reason why the Fire stick is selling. I've seen the Amazon Fire TV interface, and it's not that great. It's certainly not as good as Apple's interface.
No, and I agree.
I would say it's not even as good as Roku's interface. Roku actually has a pretty decent interface.
Roku has really made some major strides and with their devices, so that's competing right in itself. But Apple could pull something like they did with their networking equipment. Decide, you know what? We're just pulling the plug. We're done. We're just gonna utilize other manufacturers like smart TVs. You know, the app is available on most of them.
Yeah, Frank says he has most, a dumb TV.
Yeah, that I figured he did.
Well, Frank, you can go and get a Roku. It'll have the Apple TV app on it, depending on which model you get.
Yeah, you got to go into the newer.
I can't tell you Rokus. What accent that was. That was just my standard, I am a freaking nerd kind of guy. Yeah.
I don't want it now.
Yeah, I want it now.
I want you have that now. You have that and then of course the Chromecast and everything in the Google ecosystem too. So I mean there's so much choice. Chromecast? I own pretty much all the devices you could think of and they're sitting in my closet. So and some are hooked up, some are not. But Apple TV has become the focus. But you know, it's just funny that this article came out today because I'm seriously considering thinking about cord cutting and looking and just want to sit down and evaluate the services, see what I want and spend that time on it, and I may even have a talk on it because I'm just tired of the money I pay Comcast every month for all the TV that I don't watch probably anywhere half the channels they have on the service as it is. And having devices like an Apple TV or a Roku or an Amazon or one of those devices, you can access all this stuff. You know, YouTube TV is a great service. Hulu with their TV access. I'm sad right now. You know, being a Chicago Cubs fan, they have their brand new network and they have not signed a contract with Comcast. So I don't know what they're going to do. All these fans are going to be very upset. They're not being able
except to down in Houston.
Yeah, that's true. So I don't know. So they did sign with Hulu TV. So I mean, so are they going to get everybody to subscribe to Hulu TV with their it's called the Marquee Television Network. And
you can also get that Cubs through times. Disney Plus. You can get Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN for one.
That's price. Just the regular Hulu. This is the Hulu TV live TV. So there's another service beyond the regular Hulu that includes the live TV channels that you can get, and that's what
they call it. Hulu Plus in a fit of originality.
Nah, they call it Hulu Live TV.
Hulu Live TV. Hulu Live TV. It almost rolls off the tongue.
And Frank says MLB.tv. I can't watch the Cubs games when I'm at home because they black out all the local games. So
Unless it sells out.
No, that's
even if it sells out. Well, I guess
the contract
doesn't happen.
That was the old rule in the NFL, that which is long gone.
Yeah.
No, any team that's local to your area, you cannot watch baseball on MLB.TV.
So. See, that's ridiculous. If you're already spending money for the service, why not just let you have it? If you're spending money for a specific application for a specific purpose, like Major League Baseball, NFL football, then who cares if you're not, if you're out within a 50 mile radius? It shouldn't matter.
Right. Well, in the case of Frank, he doesn't live, he's a Yankees fan. He doesn't live in he lives beyond 50 miles of Yankee Stadium, then he's good. He can watch it. Well, yeah, I don't. I mean, I live in Chicago area. I live in the suburbs, so I'm in a proximity of where this region is. I'd have to be out, you know, west or north of this area to be able to watch Cubs games. I'm either up in Wisconsin, I'm in Indiana or Iowa. I could be any other of the states, you know, or I go down south. You know what? It's all based on that. So yeah, again, it's all local. Like Frank says, local stations want their revenue, and I agree.
Sure.
It's just. You know, it is what it is. That's why I said with this Apple TV thing, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens because you know, they have such an app ecosystem. They have the app ecosystem on there now. They've got, you know, they've been hardcore development of tvOS. So I'd just be surprised if it did disappear. I mean, just as much as they've invested in it already, and I haven't seen them ignoring it as of yet. I mean, like again, comparing the networking devices when they discontinued the airport devices, they stopped supporting those for a few years before they finally, you know, finally
cut
ended
the cord, so to speak.
Ended them, yeah. So I'd be, it's going to be interesting. But okay, I like the fact.
Have you checked out that website that I gave you about cord cutting that had the comparison of all the different.
I did check out which one was it again. I'm looking at.
Remember,
it was mybundle.tv was the one of them. There was another one. I'm sure I have a link somewhere that we.
Darn it! I can't remember now. Okay,
well, I have it somewhere, but
yeah.
I'm seriously thinking about looking at it. So,
well, my wife is paying because she pays the cable bill. It's over $200 a month.
Yeah, and same here.
Every time I talk to her about it, it's. Yeah, and I got, you know, I made sure we had high speed internet. Every time I talk to her about it, she doesn't want to go through the hassle.
Yep. That's the wife here too.
Yeah, of talking to them to get a deal for a couple of months and then it slowly creeps back up again.
I have to do that with Comcast. I call them every year. Once the price goes up, hey guys, I'm not paying this. You got to come up with a better package for me, and then they do it because I'm not going to pay. Right.
And well, you know, sometimes they count on apathy is what it is. Yeah. And my wife just doesn't want to make the call. And because I'm not the account holder, there's nothing I can do.
Right. And that's what even Leo Laporte made a comment like that. I pay this exorbitant amount of money to Comcast, but I don't want to call them. And he says the same thing. So she's not alone. Trust me when it comes to that.
Okay. Well, unless you have anything, that's all I have for.
No, I think we had some good lively discussion this evening.
Okay, well, Dave, if people wanted to get a hold of you, what would they do?
They would go to intouchwithios.com and go over there and listen to my latest podcast episode with Warren, our friend Warren Sklar. We'll have another episode coming out this week, and I'm trying to keep it weekly, and so we're consistent. So, and it's been a great show. So come out and go out to that website, give us a listen. We really appreciate it. And then I'm president of the Suburban Chicago Apple Users, which I stay active in there. That website is myscau.org, and check out what we do there. And I'm on Twitter at Twitter at DaveG65.
And if you want to get a hold of me, you can send me an email, guy@mymac.com. I am on the Twitters as Mac Parrot or Vert Shark. Other than this podcast, I also do the My Mac podcast with Gaz. Last week, though, I had Mike Edom on. And
great show, by the way.
Thank you. This week, You haven't asked me. I have a special guest. No, believe me, the person that may be coming on is, he's really, really difficult to describe. I will talk to you. I'll talk to you offline. He's a super nice guy. Very smart. But the hardest part with talking to this guy is keeping him focused.
You're gonna put everybody in
suspense. That's coming from me. Okay. Yeah, that's coming from me. So that should tell you a lot right there. Regardless, it's going to be entertaining, however the hell it works out. Of course, on occasion, though I haven't in a long time, and I don't even know why I keep talking about it, Guy's Daily Drive, probably because the audio version of this show goes through the Guy's Daily Drive feed over there in the podcast app, iTunes, whatever podcatcher that you use to listen to your devices. If you would like to help me support the crazy things that I do in relationship to this thing we call podcasting, you can buy me a coffee at coffee.com, ko-fi.com/MacParrot. You can do that Patreon thing, patreon.com/MacParrot. And lastly, I have a PayPal page, which is paypal.me/. Now I gotta clean my microphone. It's a mess. paypal.me/MacParrot. Warren Sklar is of course, he is on Facebook, and he goes to Guatemala. He's the pro from Guatemala. I can't remember how I have his banner set up.
And he's the fine co-host of In Touch.
He is the fine co-host of the In Touch with iOS podcast, which somebody I know of does that show. Who could it
me.
Be? Oh, that's right. Oh, it's you. Real quick, also, before we go, don't forget, coming up in July, it hasn't yet been announced, but we have MacStock 2020. If you live anywhere near the Chicago area, you really, really don't want to miss this show. It is so much fun. All of the people, and it's not just, you know, Nimrods like me, Allison Sheridan, Dave Hamilton is gone a couple of years. I don't know if he's going to be going this year. There's all different kinds of people that go this show, and it's so much fun. It's like being at the Macworld Expo without all the case makers. I don't know how else to describe it. Frank is gone, I think, every single year.
Yes, he has.
And Derek and Tew, you should go. I don't think Elon Musk is going to go. No, I have not yet changed the copyright date on the... Actually, wait. No. I have. I just haven't changed it out in Mimo, and I should, but I'm a lazy sod. So with that in mind...
2019 Dave, it is.
Thank you so very much for being on the show this
thank
week.
You, as really always.
Do appreciate it. And real quick message. March 5th through March 10th. March 5th is a Thursday, so I will probably be doing the show March 4th. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to be down in the Fort Lauderdale area for reasons, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I always love going back home. And I won't be back until the 10th, which is that following Tuesday. I don't know if there will be an interruption to the Mac the Future live cast either on the 4th or the 11th. It's going to depend on how much work I have to do to get ready for the trip, or how much work I have to do to decompress after coming back from the trip. But we will see what shall happen. In the meantime, don't worry about it. Things will work out in the end, as they always do. And we will see you next time. Like, share, subscribe over there in YouTube, if you watch it on YouTube, because that really helps too. Like, share, subscribe. That's how they do it. Like, share, subscribe over in YouTube. Look it up under my name, Guy Searle. And we will catch you next time with the 2019 trademark thingy here on the Mac to the Future livecast. Go.
2020.
It is 2020. Huh.